Please take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 56. And we'll begin our reading at verse 1, Psalm 56. And let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighteth daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will trust His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not all in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk with God in the light of the living? And Lord bless in reading his word. You may be seated. Please take your Bibles and turn to the 23rd Psalm. When we were children, we were scared of all sorts of things. I had some cousins that were absolutely terrified of the dark. Had to have a nightlight on, had to have something. Growing up out east, when I was a little guy, thunderstorms, oh my word, crack, boom, and I'd, all of a sudden, it was amazing how fast I could run from my bed to my parents. Adults are afraid too. People are afraid of all sorts of things, some rational, some irrational. Sometimes surprised at what people are afraid of. Some people are surprised at what I'm afraid of. We are afraid of the past. Secrets that we want to remain secret, the skeletons in the closet. Very often a lot of the anxieties that we wrestle with, the regrets and so on, rooted in the past. We're afraid of the present. The circumstances I find myself in right now, all the things that are happening in the world, and it's never been this bad. That's a lie. Depending on where you are and what time in history you've been, things have been worse in lots of places at different times. Always remember when you look at the decay of our culture, this is not to say that what's going on in America is okay. But when you look at the decay of our culture and you look at what's going on and what is acceptable behavior, look at Paul in Corinth. And what was the culture there? And what was going on? And it's a comfort to know that even under such circumstances where souls were being saved and churches established and lives transformed. We're afraid of the future. We feel we lack control. We are bombarded with all sorts of bad news. See, it never seems like we get any good news. It's always bad news. And of course, so many of the stories are about what's going to happen as if the news writers were prophets. Guesses portrayed as certainties. Psalm 56:3 that we read earlier, in verse 3 it says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." The promises of God should overrule our fears. God is our Father. He is my shepherd. He knows. He's there. He is able. What else do I need? Peter walked on water in the midst of the storm, and he began to fear and sink when he took his eyes off the Lord and looked at his circumstances. The rescuing Lord simply said, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" David penned this psalm, the one we're looking at. with a great deal of personal experience, both as a shepherd with sheep, real sheep. He understood fear in himself and others. He wrote this psalm. Psalm 56, rather, while he was fleeing from Saul and he went to the land of the Philistines to try to escape, and there he was in even greater danger. For real sheep, you know, those woolly animals, the remedy is a faithful and capable shepherd who will always lead them aright, protect them, meet the need. For God's children, thankfully, we have the good shepherd, and he is much better than a simply human shepherd who's leading about animals. In verse 4 of the 23rd Psalm, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And I know you read, there's a zillion books written on the 23rd Psalm. They'll say, the valley of the shadow of death, well, that's this particular place. That may be the name of it now, but 3,000 years ago when this was written, there was no specific valley of the shadow of death. It is a figure of speech for a dangerous situation based on David's experiences. In the south of Judah, the main stone that, and by the way, Jerusalem, even today, they have quarries all over Israel, and they quarry the limestone, and all the buildings built in Jerusalem even to this day have a limestone facade on them. I got a chunk of limestone I picked up at a construction site while we were over there. And limestone is water soluble. This is why there's caves and so on throughout the south of Judah. There's deep ravines cut through the rock where the streams and so on. These are called wadis. Our tour guide said, well, look at that. Why do you know? Why do you know? Why do you know? We refer to gullies and a number of different things that we have in our country. It's the same thing. But they have these deep ravines, sometimes very much deeper than they are wide. Little tiny canyons. See that kind of thing in Arizona and places. They are dark and confining. Potentially fearful. It might be, if you want to look at it with the right attitude, a place of rest and respite from the heat of the day. Arizona. Hot. But to find a place that's in the shade with the cool stones where the sun isn't shining on them, a place of relaxation, a place of respite, but also a path. These are the places the waters run through when the rains do come. And so a path from one pasture to another, a route of necessity, needful to get the sheep from one place to another, a place where the shepherd leads. And yet, these same places, as useful and beneficial as they may be, can also be dangerous. Enemies may lurk there. In the Middle East of 3,000 years ago, they had bears and wolves and lions and leopards. Predators seeking that sheep. A lair for predators. Sometimes a sudden and unexpected danger. If you had rainfall, it all runs down and down into the bottom of that wadi. In places in Israel, they'll have a post in the ground with markings on it, and they'll show you how high the water gets. Well, it's just a dusty, gravelly, dry stream bed. Yes, but this canyon was carved by the waters over the centuries. And the waters, when they fly through here, might be 4 feet deep, 10 feet deep, sometimes 20 feet deep. And if I'm walking down this thing and then I hear the roar of the water, I will be swept away. Potential dangers in the valley of the shadow of death. That's why it's called that. A shadow may frighten. When we talk about somebody scared of his own shadow. What's that? Oh, it's my shadow. We spook. We jump, we're scared, we're afraid of a shadow. A shadow very often is whatever I happen to be afraid of, because most of what I'm afraid of is really, most of the time, nothing to be afraid of. A lot of our phobias are irrational. They terrify us. We may wake up in the night in a sweat over a circumstance that we were dreaming about, but it's just a dream. And even if it were real, it's really nothing to be afraid of. It's a fixation of mind. Oh, we have other fixations. Sometimes things we experience and we're afraid of in that way, but we have the current media fixation. They get fixated on one thing, and then they jump to this one, and they jump. Anybody here had monkeypox? Afraid of all sorts of things. What's under my bed? What's hiding in my closet? We're afraid. Irrational, silly things. I can remember one time I was so fixated on what, there's got to be something under my bed. I actually got out, went and got a flashlight and looked under my bed before I could actually relax and go to sleep. What's under the bed? We're afraid. A shadow can't harm. We're afraid of the dark because of what might be hiding there. Things I can't see. Now, understand, most of our fears, and you look back at this, just rational thinking, most of our fears will never come to pass. Matter of fact, a lot of the troubles that we actually face are things we never dreamed of. But we're anxious about what isn't. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Why is it called the shadow of death? Because it's a dangerous place. We're afraid of dangers. Accident, injury, disease. Lots of that last one. The unseen germ that's going to kill us all. We're afraid of those who might want to harm us. That's what David is facing over and over again. Look at, you know, David's life. We did a study on the life of David a number of years ago, and David's life is a fascinating study. Because David's life was full of great blessing. It is filled with the amazing providence of God, how God took this fellow and did this and this and this and this. And yet his life was filled with hardship and heartache. Some of it his own making. The consequences of his own sin. David's life was filled with enemies. Hostile neighbors. The Philistines on the west and the Ammonites on the east and probably a number of other folks as well. Secret enemies within. As you read the passage in 2 Samuel about Absalom's rebellion, David is in his palace doing his palatial stuff, and then word comes. There was no anticipation, at least from David's perspective. There was no warning that there was something amiss. And yet a great conspiracy was afoot. And David fled Jerusalem for his life. Absalom, his eldest son, sought to overthrow him and seize the throne. Who was Absalom's ally? Who was the fellow that helped coordinate all this? Well, a fellow named Ahithophel. Who was Ahithophel? Ahithophel had been David's greatest counselor. The psalmist says, we walked together to the house of the Lord. It was you, a man, my equal, my friend. Almost certainly referring to Ahithophel. And yet, he was betrayed by Ahithophel. Ahithophel wanted David's head. Offered to go and kill David, smite the king. Sometimes the dangers are physical. Dare I say that all the time, the dangers are spiritual. As long as we are on this side of glory, we face spiritual dangers. And sometimes we're clueless. Some of the ones are very obvious, and others are not. Of course, we deal with the overt sin things, the area of temptation. The devil attacks us where he knows we are the weakest, which is not necessarily where we think we're the weakest. We often think that we are weak in this area and strong in this area. And as mentioned before, very often we will fall in the area where we think we are the strongest. The devil knows us better than we know ourselves. Self-reliance instead of God-reliance. Ah, I'll not give the devil the satisfaction. I can handle this. No, you can't. The devil is the second greatest being there is. He is the most powerful created being there is. My strength is not in me. My strength is in the one who is in me. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And my strength is in the Lord. I have no power to rebuke the devil. It's nonsense. But I do have power to resist. And we'll be talking about that next time that I speak on Sunday night. We deal with temptation. And because of the sin problem, we have issues of ruined testimony. My reputation for Christ is at stake. It is hard to regain a lost testimony. This is why in the requirements for a pastor that are listed in Titus and 1 Timothy, you have these, so many of these things are rather basic, but it has to do with people's perception of the man. Because that matters. Reputation matters. Testimony matters. Forgiveness. Sin. I can be forgiven in a moment. I can be restored to right relationship with God in a moment. But trust and reputation in the eyes of men must be earned. If the devil can trip us up, get us to sin, he can get us to disqualify ourselves and we can lose our effectiveness. And by sinning also, we quench the work of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." By grieving the Holy Spirit, we are telling God, no! And by doing that, we lose the power of the Spirit. Samson, I know this is Old Testament, Samson chapter 16, or Judges chapter 16 verse 20, dealing with Samson, Delilah. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he woke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. He had no spiritual power because his strength was from the Lord. And when we are in sin, in spite of our self-confidence, in spite of any self-discipline we may have, in spite of our reputation, what we're able to do in the past, when we are in sin, we lose the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm still his child, but I have quenched the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I'm often oblivious to my lack of spiritual power, and I go on as if I had it. But I find that my power to resist temptation is much diminished. My ability to understand the Word of God is diminished. I unwittingly end up relying on myself instead of the Holy Spirit of God. And I get myself into all sorts of trouble very often without even realizing it. It is amazing. Church history, people that I have read about in the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years who were on the straight and narrow for decades And all of a sudden, off they go over here. Off they go over here. What in the world happened there? Well, then you find out, sometimes years later, oh, that's what happened. There was a sin problem. And he lost his spiritual discernment. He lost his ability to truly understand the Word of God. The Spirit of God had been quenched in his life. And off he goes. And it isn't until later that the sin issue, the root of this, has been revealed, because that, so often that's the root of false teaching. It's rooted in a sin problem. It isn't just a misunderstanding of the Word of God, it's rooted in a sin problem very often. The error is also reflected in my priorities. I get away from the straightforward commands of God and get fixated on things that are of no eternal consequence, no spiritual consequence, no biblical consequence. And these are the things that are the result of quenching the Spirit. I lose my discernment, and my focus is directed away from God and onto other things, very often myself. And so there's a danger, a spiritual danger. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil. In spite of all these circumstances that I'm in, some of them unavoidable, the dangers that surround me, I'm not to fear. He says, I will fear no evil. Fear! I mentioned in the introduction, we're afraid. When I'm fearful, I am focused on self and on the thing that makes me afraid. I'm not focused on God. My focus is off the shepherd. These thoughts are those other than the shepherd. And my focus is on me. What I am afraid of. The dangers. Possible dangers. What might be. What might happen. And what I'm doing is I'm putting my confidence in the enemy and instead of the Lord. Oh, he's going to do this. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. Oh, I think this is going to happen. This might happen. He says, I will fear no evil. So in spite of the danger, I will fear no evil. Now let me pause. This is not cause to be reckless. Sometimes we swing the other way and we are reckless. We take unnecessary chances. We toy with evil. Oh, I can deal with this. My eyes are on God. Scripture says, flee also youthful lusts, which war against the soul. Don't dabble in it, don't play with it. I can deal with this, God will deliver me. As I walk walk right into knowing temptation, knowing danger. If you can avoid it, avoid it. If you can run, run. If it's embarrassing, so be it. Don't take chances. So we're not to be reckless, but I will fear no evil. I am secure because my confidence is in the shepherd. Because it doesn't matter where I am. It has to do with whom I'm with or who is with me. I will fear no evil for thou art with me. As a child of God, I'm not alone. I am never dependent on myself. I'm talking about this a little bit in Sunday school. I am never dependent on myself. And I am so thankful that that's not the case, because I'd be a ruined mess if it was all dependent on me. I am never abandoned by the shepherd. If there are problems, it's because I have been the wayward sheep. But he's still my shepherd. He says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The Lord is my shepherd. He is greater than any danger. God never puts his children in a no-win situation where you have to do wrong. I didn't say it's easy, but he never puts you in a no-win situation where you have to do wrong. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care what thing is you're wrestling with. There's lots of other people dealing with the same problem. You are not a unique being in your troubles. There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God doesn't put his children in no one's situation. Back to Psalm 56 that we had read earlier. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what man can do to me. My shepherd is the Creator God. My shepherd is God Almighty. My shepherd is more powerful than anything that I will ever face. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows what will happen. He's there. He's omnipotent. I'm in good hands. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, he will never leave me nor forsake me. I have God's word on it. I have a promise of God. By the way, when you read the scripture, when you look at the promises of God, and then you look at your circumstances, like Peter on the water, remember that God's promises are sure. And they are sure whether or not I believe them. They are sure whether or not I'm wrestling with doubts. They are sure whether, regardless of my feelings. They are sure regardless of my circumstances or my experience. God's word is sure. God's promises are certain. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We look at the idea of the rod is like a club, a weapon against the enemy, something to protect me from those that would harm me. When I look, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I conceive of all the different dangers, maybe even see the dangers, and then I can remember that the shepherd is armed. Our shepherd is omnipotent. Thy rod and thy staff. What's the staff? Well, that's the thing is the Bo Peep stick. You know, little Bo Peep, the Bo Peep stick. The shepherd's crook. A sure guide to say, you ever wonder why it's shaped that way? Yeah, you can use it to wrangle a sheep. But also where you have these ravines and you've got a lot of this in the country. I mean, you've seen the videos online where you got the sheep that's stuck in a ditch, sometimes upside down. Because sheep are dumb. How do you extricate the sheep? Well, if you got a lone shepherd out there, that little Bo Peep stick comes in handy. Reach down there and pop them right out. It's a comfort. He is able to pull me to safety. So he has a weapon to ward off the enemy, to deal with the enemy, to deal with the danger. And then when I'm a danger to myself, I have the staff. And in spite of my own waywardness, the staff is a comfort to me. I think I'm doing what is right and best for myself. And a lot of the time, it is the exact opposite. Who will rescue me from myself? Well, the Lord's got a staff. And so with the rod, he deals with those without. With the staff, he deals with me. And both of those things are a comfort to me. They assuage my fears, my anxiety. And here's the best part about the rod and the staff. It says, thy rod and thy staff. It is the shepherd that protects and guides. He is able to lead me safely, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Father, we are beset with fears and anxieties and trouble. But in spite of these things, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Father, we rejoice in the fact that you are the good shepherd. But Father, most importantly, you're my shepherd. And it's all because of what Christ has done for me. His death on the cross paid for salvation that I received by faith. And when I trust Christ, the Lord becomes my shepherd. He's my heavenly Father. He's my shepherd. He loves me. He cares for me. He meets the need. And really, I have no cause for fear because you are with me. Father, thank you. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.